Amen. Are you blessed this morning? Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Please take your seats. Amen. You know, when you get on a plane, the air stewards and the, you know, airport staff, they tell you to sit down, you know, to buckle up. Amen. They say you do to make sure that your seat belts are securely fastened and to prepare for takeoff. Amen. So make sure that your seat belts are securely fastened and that you're prepared for takeoff this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God is so good, and it's always a privilege to have the opportunity to minister His word. Amen. And I thank God, you know, for the honor to bring the word to us today. Today, God's given me a word that I know is for us today. How many of you, okay, you've at some point, and I'm sure this will cover just about everybody, but I'll ask the question. You've had a toy, whether it's a racing car, whether it's a little toy dolly that your kids plays with, whether it's a watch, you know, that needs a battery to operate it. You've had some kind of device that is battery operated in the past, yeah? Sometimes it's been a radar. I remember, you know, back in Nigeria, back in the day, you know, we had radios. You know, you have to put batteries, you know, sometimes 3, 4, 5 batteries in them if it's a big one. You know, battery-operated stuff. And we have our watches, maybe even our mobile phones, you know, have batteries inside of them. But what happens, generally, with use, we notice that over time and with use, the battery does what? The battery wears down. Is that right? Anyone relate to that, yeah? And it kind of, you know, it kind of goes very slowly, and then it stops working. You know, we had this clock at work, and whenever you looked at it sometimes, you think, what happened? And you have to look at your own watch to see what the time is, because, you know, it stopped. Either the batteries have run down, and then, you know, you say, oh, someone needs to change the battery. So we all know that batteries, you know, wear out. You know, they run down as they're used up, and they wear out. You know, sometimes in our lives as Christians, you know, our spiritual batteries can start to run down. Amen? They can start to get low. And, you know it. Someone said, speaking about a musical orchestra, and, you know, they were saying that, you know, sorry, if they're out of practice, you know, they're about to run low. They said, first of all, you know, they know it in themselves that it's running low. And then said, if it lasts for a week, then the audience starts to know it. And then everybody knows it because, you know, you can just, it's just glaringly obvious. And so many times, you know, our spiritual batteries can run low. But there are many reasons, you know, for that. Because, you know, we have, you know, as we go through life, how many of that stuff happens, you know, and stuff happens to all of us. And so, you know, what they call the ups and downs, you know, and the hustle and bustle of everyday life, just stuff generally happens. And it, you know, it can wear us out. I want us to start this morning looking in the scriptures, and let's turn first of all. Okay, we're going to start first of all in the book of 2 Corinthians, and the 4th chapter, and the 16th verse. 2 Corinthians and chapter 4, and verse number 16. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Yeah? It says, therefore, we do not lose heart. You know, we're going to see in a minute, you know, Paul was, there's a background, there's a history to this. But Paul is making a summary now, and he's saying that, therefore, we do not lose heart. And it says, though our outward man is what? Is perishing, yet the inward man is what? Being renewed day by day. So though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. And so Paul identifies, even though he's talking about one man, he's talking about the outward man and the inward man. And you know, each one of us has that outward man, that's the external that we see. And so someone said it's like, you know, like ducks or swans. When you see them swimming on the lake, They look so graceful, don't they? They're just looking so fine and they're kind of gliding along. But underneath the surface, where no one sees, they're kind of pedaling and flapping like mad, like crazy. You know, they're pedaling like mad to get along. And so they're getting along and it looks so effortless and seamless as they glide at a superficial level. But behind the scenes, under the water, they are pedaling and flapping like mad to keep going and to keep propelling. And so the Bible speaks about the outward man. And I want us to back up a little bit. If we stay in chapter 4 and look at verses 8 to 10. So same 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. But let's have a look at verses 8 to 10. So it says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. It says, we are perplexed, but not in despair. And then it says, we are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. It says, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. And so we see there, you know, almost a contradiction of what's actually going on. So on the outside, we're being buffeted on every side. How many of you have ever felt like that? You know, you've gone through some stuff in your life and it really feels that you're going through the mill. It's like you've been taken through the hairdryer, the tumble dryer, the spin dryer. You know, you've been shaking all about and everything and you're feeling a little bit bedraggled, to be honest. Because you've been dragged through a hedge backwards. Somebody's just waving there. But you know, it's happened to me. I know it's happened to you. It's happened to all of us. But that's the nature of life. Because this side of heaven, we go through stuff. You know, David, the psalmist, he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And so there's death that he's going through. But the good news is that we're just going through that stuff. We're not pitching a camp and staying there, but we're going through, which means that we're going to come out at the other side. Can you say amen? Amen. So he says, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, Lord, because you are with me. Amen. You know, so I want to speak today, okay, about the process or the pathway of renewal. The process or the pathway of renewal. Because I believe that that's God's heart for each and every one of us. That though the outward man is perishing, the inward man should be getting renewed day by day, over and over. You know, that inner man, which is the real you. You know, see, the real you is the inner man. And the Bible says that he is renewed day by day. You know, and that's the heart of God for each one of us. You know, the enemy's plan is to destroy us. You know, John chapter 10 and verse 10 says the enemy only comes, no matter what he says, no matter what he claims to be doing, his sole purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You know, that's his manifesto. You could summarize it in those three words, that he wants to steal from you, he wants to kill you, and ultimately, he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your faith. He wants to destroy you as a Christian. Because he's identified us as enemies, he is our arch enemy. And you know, if he tempted Jesus and gave him a hard time, guess what? He's going to do the same to you and to me. But praise God, because the Bible says that we have the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And so we know that we have that victory. So back into verse 16 where we started, it says, so therefore we do not lose heart. I think the old King James says, we do not faint. And the Amplified says, we don't become discouraged. Another translation of that says, we don't become exhausted or worn out. And so we can see that these things in life, they can buffet us and they can try to make us become exhausted, make us worn out. But Jesus has come to renew us. Amen? Everyone say, renew. Okay? That word renew, it's like you can say rewire. You can rewire something. You can restore something. You can revamp something. You can refresh something. Re just means again. And so, new again. So God wants to make you new again, but from the inside out. There's an acknowledgement that the outward man is perishing. Things might look like they're going south on the outside, but inside we are heading a strong north. Can you say amen? Inside, we are being renewed. Inside, we are being restored. Inside, we are going from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from faith to faith. I want us to look at another scripture. So let's open to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, and verses 7 to 8. And we're going to look at just a couple of keys there to our renewal. So Jeremiah, chapter 17, and verses 7 and 8. Jeremiah 17 and verses 7 and 8. Praise God. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Let's see who finds it first. Okay, here we go. You do. You win. It says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord." So not only does he trust in the Lord, but his hope actually is the Lord. It says that man, that woman is blessed. Okay, verse 8. And it says, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots, okay, by the river, and will not fear when the heat comes, okay? But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So blessed is that man, blessed is that woman. That man is you, that man is me. That woman is you, that woman, well, not a woman. But you get the point there. The scripture says there is a blessing there because that man, that woman is planted by the rivers of water and spreads out their roots deep. You know, the water speaks about the word. Amen? But says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And so I think our first key really right there is to have deep roots in the word of God. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, deep roots. Let your roots grow deep into the word. And that's what God wants for each one of us. You know, what did he say to Joshua? He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth," Joshua 1:8. "But you shall meditate in it," what? "Day and night, that you may," what? "You may observe to do according to all that is written in the word. And by that you're going to make your way prosperous and you're going to have good success." And so our first key that we need to just be immersed and rooted and grounded in the word of God, in the truth of God's word. Amen? And that's God's heart for each one of us. So I want to encourage us and challenge us this morning, first of all, to have deep roots in the word of God. And you notice there that it says, because that tree is planted by the rivers of water, because those roots are going deep into the soil or into the waters of God's word, therefore, the leaves are ever green. You know, if you cut a tree off, say by the stem, and you leave it for a while, for the first few hours, depending on what it is, or days, you know, that tree still looks green. But leave it a bit longer, all of a sudden, you know that it starts to change color. It starts to go brown. It starts to wilt. It starts to droop. But initially, it looks green. So you see, if we're cut off from the word, it might not look that way initially at first on the surface, but after a while, it starts to show. And so we need to be continuously nourished by the word. And so as our roots are sunk deep into the word, we continue to draw the nutrients from God's word. And so Baza speaks about the word becoming flesh. And you know, that's a process of transformation within each one of us, that the word that we feed on becomes flesh. There's a manifestation of what the word is talking about. That manifestation comes by us receiving the word, believing the word, and acting upon the word. Amen. And therefore, the word becomes a reality in our lives. The Bible says all the promises of God in Christ Jesus, they are yes and they are amen. They are yes and they are amen. And so the promises are there. The word works, but we have to work the word. Does that make sense? The word was, but we have to work the word. We have to do what the word says. There is a working out that each one of us has to do, working with God's word constantly. So that's our first key, to just meditating and doing and becoming the word of God. Because the Bible says that God watches over his word to perform it in our lives. And so it's the heart of God to see the word of God come into fruition, bearing those green fruits, bearing that much fruit, as he says. No, Jesus said, I have come that they might have what? Life. And life what? More abundantly. Even more abundant. That's the heart of God. So he's come that we might have life, we might have it more abundantly. And so for our first key is to really sink our roots into the word of God. And here's our second one, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Because you see, the word, it's not just the word on its own, but there's another component. It's the Spirit of God. The Bible says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Or another translation says, in which there is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So we don't want to be so full of wine, of alcohol, that we're staggering about. But we want to be under the influence of the Spirit of God. Amen? It's the Spirit. Amen? But I said the Spirit is the Spirit that quickens. It's the Spirit that gives life. And so we need to be full of the Spirit. You know, Dad Hagin used to say that some people used to boast that, oh, I was filled with the Holy Spirit back in 1923. And he would say, that's the problem. It's all leaked out. They were filled with the Spirit, but you know, when you have a battery leakage and it's all leaked out. But we need to, that word, be filled, it means, it's not good English, but it says be being filled. In other words, be continuously filled. See, we can have a fresh infilling. And so many times in our meetings, you know, we call people forward to have a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be constantly filled. You know, a minister I listened to put it this way. He said, be constantly filled and resupplied. The constant refilling or refueling, you know, as you drive your car, what happens? The petrol gets used up or the diesel gets used up. And so you have that little gauge in the car that shows you. And sometimes it hits, you know, it gets to that point where it says empty and the light suddenly turns red. And it's warning you that unless you refuel your car really soon, you're likely to run out of petrol or diesel and it's going to stop. And so we don't wait until it comes to a complete stop before we refuel, do we? No. So the wise thing, I mean, I had to fill up my car today coming into church, you know, part of why I had to take a detour. You know, and my wife told me, said, you should have filled up last night. I said, yes, you're absolutely right. I should have done it last night instead, but I'm going to do it now. But if we don't refuel, if we don't keep that topped up, then we run that risk of it running low. We run that risk of actually getting to a point where it crashes and it stops. And so the Bible says, be constantly filled with the Spirit. So don't be drunk with wine in which there is excess, but be constantly filled, be refueled with the Spirit. Amen? The Bible speaks about the day of Pentecost, when they were all gathered together in one place, and that they were in one accord. And then there was, we know the story, the sound of the mighty rushing wind, that it blew in at that point. The Bible says, speaks about the tongues of fire that rested on the heads of each one of them. And then it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants to refill us today with his Holy Spirit. And, you know, in a little while, I'm going to invite us to stand, not right now, but in a little while, to just cry out to God for a fresh infilling of his Spirit, for a fresh, you know, for a renewal, you know, to become new on the inside again. You know, so many times, you know, in my own life, there have just been times when I've known that, you know, I'm struggling. It's like the stuff of life has hit you hard, whether it's to do with your finances, whether it's to do with your work or business, whether it's to do with family, your children, all kinds of areas. You know, there are so many areas that the devil wants to attack us in. And so many times, as those things happen in our lives, the effect it has is to knock us off course. You know, someone put it, the scripture puts it this way, speaking about the winds, okay, the rain and the floods. And it's like the winds come and batter the sides of the house, okay? The rains fall down on them, beat on the roof. And then the floods come up from underneath. So it's like, oh, I'm getting this thing from all sides. You know, nowhere to run. And sometimes it's like that, you know, where there's nowhere to run. I think of the three Hebrews, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and the bad Negro. All three of them, you know, wearing this stuff. And, you know, sometimes the way forward is through the fire. The way forward is through the fire. And the king threatened him. He said, look, I'm going to make this fire, you know, I'm going to throw you guys into the fire if you don't bow down and worship. So that was the choice. And, you know, it's not always the easy option. It's not always right to take the easy option. So the easy option would have been to, okay, bow down and worship. Oh, no one will know. Just bow down and worship me. But they said, we don't even need to speak to God about this one. This is a no-brainer. We're not going to do it. And our God is able to deliver. You know, we need some of that on the inside of us, you know. But that's because their roots are sunk deep in God's truth. They believed God. They believed that he would deliver them. And when all was said and done, the Bible says that even the people who threw them into the fire, because of the heat, you know, this is the incredible thing. The heat killed those people. But yet, later on, when the king came, the Bible says that he drew close to the fire and he stood at the edge of the fire. The heat didn't kill him. It shows that something supernatural was going on here because God was displaying his power. And so the king was able to stand at the edge of the fiery furnace and actually speak to them and say, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you guys are in there. Your God has delivered you. And he said, I see a fourth man, and that man is like the Son of God. And he told them to come out. And the Bible said, when they came out of the fire, they didn't even have the smell of smoke upon their garments. You know, when God brings his deliverance, even the smell of smoke will not be upon your garments. You see, when God restores, it's going to be even more glorious than it was before. But we have this treasure, the treasure of the gospel, the treasure of his word. We have it in earthen vessels. We have it in these vessels of clay. But the essence of the glory is going to be of him and not of us. And so when God is through with you, you see, God isn't through with any of us yet. You see, otherwise, we would have gotten saved and gone straight to heaven. But God has left us on this earth for a purpose. And he said, let your light so shine, let my light so shine, that men would see your good works and give glory to him. And so there is a glory that is in you that God wants to show the world. There's a glory that is within you that he wants the world to see so that they can be drawn to him. Amen. But Jesus said, I am the way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so we're carriers of that message. See, we're carriers of his love. You know, I'm just thinking that, you know, I had this little jewelry box or, you know, a box that my cufflinks were in. See, and it's a container. But it's not the container that's important. It's what's inside, you see. And so it doesn't matter. Yesterday at our men's breakfast, he was just speaking about distractions. How so many times we can be distracted by what the preacher looks like, by maybe he doesn't speak well, maybe he has an accent, maybe he has this. You know, but you know, it's the anointing that he's carrying. It's the power of God that he's carrying. It's the love of God that he's demonstrating. That's the important thing. And so God always wants to show off through us. But we mustn't be distracted by us. We have to get us out of the way so that his glory can shine through. And I believe that these are just important keys for us to constantly being renewed with the power of God. Constantly being renewed for the journey. You see, we're on, life is a journey, isn't it? And each one of us is on that journey of life. And the Bible says that we are going from glory to glory. But you know, in reality, it doesn't always seem that way, does it? Because when we hit hard times, you think, whoa, what is this? God, help me in this scenario. God, help me in this situation. And it doesn't look very glorious at the time. But you know, God is faithful because he's watching over his word. And guess where his word is? His word is inside of you. His word is inside of me. And so as we work that word, you see, God will confirm the word. God will always show up in the midst of your fire. God will always show up in the midst of your furnace. God will always bring deliverance. Someone said, whenever there is a flood, you know, God rescues his people in the ark. Amen. I said, whenever there's a flood, God rescues his people in the ark. So God is faithful to us always, in all circumstances and at all times. And we need to know that. You know, I have experienced the faithfulness of God again and again and again. You know, there have been times that were so hard that I couldn't afford to pay my mortgage. So hard that I couldn't afford to pay my mortgage. And it's a tough time. And so you're looking at, well, what's going to happen? Is your property going to be repossessed? And you know, that's a real challenge. But you know, God blessed me to the point where someone came forward and said, I want to do that for you. I thought, what? They said, tell me how much it is. And I was blessed month, and this wasn't a one-off thing, but month after month after month after month, to the point where I had to say, stop. It's too much. But you know, God is so good. And it wasn't until I actually could get back, until God put me back on my feet and I was earning again and things were moving forward again, that they were able to stop. But God saw me through that. You know, God has no favorites, as we say. But God, see, what God does for one, he will do for all. I said, what God does for one of us, he wants to do for each and every one of us. But I said, Jesus Christ, the same today, yesterday, and forever. And so God is a good God. You know, he is so thoroughly good inside and out and all the way around. And so God is faithful. So today I want to bring a word of encouragement to us. The Bible says that the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter, like the shining of the noonday sun. And so God wants to constantly renew and supply. He wants to renew and supply. He wants to renew and supply you and me every day. But we need to put our trust in him. But the arm of flesh will fail, but God's arm never fails. He will uphold us with the right hand of his righteousness. Shall we stand to our feet? Amen. I want us to be encouraged this morning. I want us to know that God is the God of renewal. God is the God who brings times of refreshing. A last scripture, Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. The Bible speaks about times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. You know, I spoke about us, you know, just so needing the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins, okay, may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. I want to say to someone here today that times of refreshing, I want to say to everybody here today that times of refreshing are coming to each and every one of us from the presence of the Lord. That as you allow your roots to sink deep into the waters, into the soil of God's word, that times of refreshing will come. That as you allow His presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit within you, to envelop you, that times of refreshing will come. That as you lean on, as you put your trust in, as you rely on Him, that times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. See, there is always a purpose to the presence of the Lord. The purpose is to renew. The purpose is to restore. The purpose is to refresh. The purpose is to reinvigorate. The purpose is to strengthen. The purpose is to build you up. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, because all of your promises are yes. Because all of your promises are amen. Father, we thank you because your word does not return void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which you are sending it. It will prosper in the hearts of those to whom it is sent. Father, today, I thank you for everyone who is under the sound of my voice. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that your word will accomplish its purpose in everybody's life today. That your word, Heavenly Father, will accomplish, Father, what you've sent it to do today, Father. To heal, to deliver, to set the captives free, Father. To renew and to restore. And so, Father, today we give you all the praise. Father, today we give you all of the glory. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen.